I just returned from a little town in Canton, Illinois, and held a gospel meeting there this past week. It was exciting to me in so many ways because it's a little small congregation, and it's about the exact same size as when I moved to preach up here 30 years ago. And what they asked me to preach on was leadership and one day having elders and deacons in a congregation. And I remember when I moved up here, that one of the first things we talked about, even though we were young. Bob and I were actually young people back then. And when they think about that, how wonderful it is to see that how the church has grown and it has elders and deacons, and to see what can happen if you pray about it and you work toward that. It's got to be something that you've got to actually focus on. It doesn't just happen by accident that you have a congregation that has maturity, that has leadership, and that has servants in the church. And so they asked me, even though they're a bunch of young guys, please preach on this, and so that we can start setting our goals toward that. It'll be exciting if Lord allows me to live to be able to watch them progress. They've got a lot of talent in that young congregation, and to think that someday they will have and move toward that idea of having elders and deacons, and they're already very evangelistic, and so I expect great things. It was just kind of fun to see that, kind of a microcosm of what we used to be here. And to see all of us in this congregation now and those who are visiting with us that God has a plan, and it's a wonderful plan. And when you work God's plan, God works with you. And I think that that's what we're trying to accomplish here. And I'm grateful that if you're a member here, that you're active in that work. And if you're a visitor here, that you'll consider becoming possibly a member of this congregation. And if we can help you along that line, that's why we're here. I want to talk about prayer. I've been thinking a lot about it. I was asked some questions along this line. And so when somebody was asking me, how come does God answer all of my prayers? I mean, is He going to answer all of my prayers? When I ask Him something and it doesn't happen, it's disturbing. And there are people who actually lose their faith because they don't see God always responding when they make requests. And maybe you have that situation in your life right now. Maybe there's some struggles, as we are all going through struggles. There's not a one of us in this audience that's not going through some burden or trial in their life somehow, some way. So make no mistake about that. When you look around, sometimes we tend to think that everybody else seems to have a good life, but I'm going through these struggles. I beg to differ with you on that. All of us have, in one way or another, struggles going on. That leads us to our knees. That leads us to pray. And to spend a lot of time in prayer asking God, please God, remove this problem from my life, this thorn in the flesh that I'm going through. And sometimes God doesn't answer, you think, but I'm going to challenge you on that as we go through this lesson. So when we ask the question, is God listening to my prayers? What is your answer to that? I'm going to propose to you that God is always hearing and answering your prayers. If you're a child of God, the Bible says in Isaiah 59 that the Lord's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. His hand is not shortened that He cannot reach out and save. But it's your sin that separates you between you and your God. And so if God's not answering, and maybe you need to examine your life and to see if there's sin, if you're in rebellion against God, then God's not going to listen to your prayers. But if you're seeking to walk by faith and you're trying to do God's will in your life, I want you to be assured of this. Make no mistake about this. God hears and answers your prayer. Do I have to say that again? If you're a Christian and you're seeking to do the will of God, you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. God has heard your prayer. Make no mistake about that. And God's going to answer your prayer. Make no mistake about that. I believe that. I think the Bible is going to tell me that. And I'm going to show you that. You know, when we think about asking, do you have a problem with this? When Jesus was telling His apostles there in Matthew 21, verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Now, if Jesus were to say that to you, as He said to the apostles, do you ever think during the course of the rest of their life, especially when they were going through the trials as apostles, that they didn't pray and that God didn't, they seemingly at that time didn't think God answered their prayers? He said it a little bit different in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. But you might say, well, that was to the apostles. I'm going to read you another one. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is John writing to me and you. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, His ear is not heavy that He cannot hear. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Does that bother you that I would read a passage like that and then you look back in your own prayer life and think, I don't remember God answering that prayer. Did God even hear my prayer? I want us to think about that. Before we get through with our lesson, I want you to have the affirmative action or the affirmative answer that God did hear your prayer and that God is going to do something with that prayer. When I think, first of all, about understanding God, here's one of the first things I need to know about understanding God, the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We start with the idea that God is the Creator. Now, we think about it from that angle. I'm going to ask you a question, yes or no, and you answer that question. Is the Creator of heaven and earth obligated to answer anything that I ask for? Yea, nay. Is the Creator of the heavens and the earth obligated to answer anything that His creation asks for? You know the answer to that is He's not obligated at all. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's not obligated to listen to anything that I have to say. And I think I need to understand that. Job had to learn the hard way along that line, where basically the theme of the book of Job is, I'm God, Job, you're not. Job was making demands of God. And God just says, basically, Job, I don't have to answer you. But He did appear to him in a whirlwind to make sure that he got his attention. And then He says, okay, riddle me this, Batman. Answer me this. And He starts asking him questions that he cannot answer. And then Job finally just throws his hands up and says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye sees you, and I am repentant in sackcloth and ashes. You're God. I'm not. You're not obligated to answer me anything. In fact, I want us to understand that with the first answer that I ask you is this. Answer this point. In Psalm 139 and in verse 8, David, in that great Psalm, Psalm 139, where it says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made from my mother's womb, and He created all the parts within me, and then He raises me up, and He asks the question, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I ascend to the lowest parts of the earth, behold, you are there. The first thing I want you to understand about God is when you say, can God or does God hear my prayer, what is the answer to that? Yes, He heard your prayer. He hears everybody's prayer. He hears everything. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He hears and He's God. That's what He does. But the second thing I want you to ask is, as you think about what He tells you in Philippians and also in 1 Peter, in Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, answer the question, does God care about me? If you're a Christian, I want you to think about this, as Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you're anxious about something, then God says, talk to me, ask me, and you know what? I'll give you the peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Question, does God care? Does Jesus care, as we often sing? Well, obviously the answer is yes. Well, let's go to Peter then. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters in Christ, God cares about me. So why would or why wouldn't God think to answer me? Sure, He's going to answer me. He's going to answer me in His time and in His way. Well, when I think about prayer, here's the way I like to ask it. Are you shocked by prayer? And what I mean by that is I use that illustration on the board there that you're looking at, or the chart, or whatever that thing is. When you're looking at that and you see that, you see those things once in a while, you are here in the universe, you're just this speck. You're a piece of dust. And you get to thinking about the idea that here you are just a mere piece of dust, and there's God of the universe, and that you utter and mutter a little prayer before God, and that God way out there is going to hear me and He's going to respond. The shock value is that God would even think to answer anything that I have to say or think about. Not that He sometimes says no, that's not what my shock value is. My shock value is that sometimes the God of the universe, the sovereign Lord of the universe, says yes. There's this God up in the heavens who listens to my petitions and he responds. That's the shock value. Not that sometimes he says no, but that sometimes he actually says yes. That's an amazing thing, that God is mindful of me. I wanted to kind of use that as a preliminary in our talk about prayer. Because when we answer the question, does God not answer my prayers? Well, God sometimes says yes, and sometimes he says no. And when he does say no, I want us to spend some time talking about that. When God does say no, why does he say no? God says yes. Maybe it's not always no. It's a lot of times like I was a parent. Sometimes I answered their question. When the kid says, can I have gummy bears before, you know, it's 5:01, before supper. And I say, no, you will ruin your supper. You can have broccoli. You can have all that you want. The kid never asked for that. When you think about when the kid is asking questions and you're giving an answer, it's just differently than what they wanted, than what the child wanted. You know, you think, remember the story in Exodus chapter 2 where the Israelites were in captivity and they were groaning and asking and begging for God to come and rescue them from the brick kilns of Egypt. And they're asking, God, get us out of this. God, get us out of this. And so he raises up a man named Moses who comes in. They work the plagues. And then finally, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh says, you can leave. And they're gone. And then here we are down a little bit later out in the wilderness. And then they said, hey, because there were no graves in Egypt, you're going to kill us here? In other words, God did answer, but God answered in a different way than what they were thinking. They were thinking in their little mind that they could mandate somehow to God, God, you escape, you take us to this land flowing with milk and honey, corn and wine, and everything's just going to be wonderful and everything's just going to be perfect. God, that's what we expect from you. God, you rescue us and you put us immediately into that situation. God doesn't work that way. And that, in other words, God actually said yes, but it was in a different way. When we think he's saying no, and don't think that sometimes in my own life it's not, he doesn't work in the exact same way. A lot of times I'm not even aware and recognizing it that God actually said yes, but he's working it from a different angle. And it won't be till many years later, I was telling my class downstairs, now that I'm 63, I'm able to look back in life and some things that I was requesting from God when I was 20 and 30 and 40. And I was thinking, God didn't answer that prayer. I can look back at an older age now and look back and see the providential hand of God. God actually said yes, but it did it in a far different way than I was expecting. I was wanting him to do it this way, and God says, no, that's not what's best for you. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it in a different way. So I want us to kind of understand that sometimes God's no is not always no. It's just a different kind of yes. God sometimes says, not now, but wait. When we think he's saying no, in reality, it's not no at all. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, you remember that story where those who had been beheaded, they were martyred for the faith? And they were crying out, says, Lord, how long will you take to avenge us? And God comes back and says in verse 11, in a little while longer, and I'm going to take care of this. Well, that's not what they were wanting to hear, perhaps. They were thinking, as time began to elapse, that God wasn't going to get around to their answer. When he says, you know, like sometimes a parent says, wait, or not now, but wait, and I'll see. And the kid's always thinking, yeah. I want an answer and I want it now. And God says, no, I will answer that, but I will answer it in my own good time. Later in the book of Revelation in chapter 20, we can see that these martyrs were indeed vindicated. At these martyrs, it says, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their faith, their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now they were able to look back in time and see that God actually had said yes, but wait, a little while longer and I'll take care of this. And God did, and God does. And he's doing that with you and with me all the time. God is taking my request, and because he hasn't answered in the last, you know, God, give me patience and give it to me now. And, you know, the old preacher thing is, you know, you ask for patience and God gives you children. You know, and so after the third one, after Meredith, I was going, okay, nah, that's enough, I got it, patient. But when we look at the idea of when God says, not now, wait, I'm going to answer it in my own time. So don't think because God so far hasn't said yes to what you requested that God has all of a sudden forgot and that God's just got it on the back burner and He might get to it, He might not. No, God's going at it right now. I believe that every prayer, if I ask in faith, God is going to respond in His own time and His own way. And it might be no, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But I want you to know that God doesn't forget. Not like me. My kids or my wife can ask me things and I'll make a promise. And I had every intention of doing it, but I forgot. God doesn't forget. When no is not no, when God says, I don't know, but how much do you want it? I love this one. In fact, this is my favorite. When the idea in Luke chapter 11, a very famous passage that Jesus gives to us, talking to us about prayer, that we ought to always pray and not lose heart, He said in Luke 11 verse 1, and He says, I say to you, though he will not rise, and remember that story where He gives a man who wants bread for his guest, he comes and knocks on the door, and He says, though he will not rise and give to him because he of his friend, yet because of his importunity, persistence, never quit, never say die attitude, because he keeps knocking, he will rise and give him all that he wants. And he says, turns around and says, ask. And that word means keep on asking. It's continuous present tense. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. And you'll receive. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. That's God's way of saying no, but it's really not a no. I might be right now, I'm trying to find out whether you really want this or not. You know, my kids were that way. They would ask for this, and I would say, not now. And I would, maybe what I was looking for is, see, do they really want that bicycle that bad? Do they keep asking days and weeks and months into the future? Or is it that it was just a random thought, and they bring it up, and I say no, and so they go away, and it wasn't on their minds, really. God sometimes is asking that about us. But it's not that God would say, I don't know, but you wait, God knows everything. But God's wanting you to think about it. Do you really want this bad enough? Then keep asking. When do I stop asking? Well, whenever you think God's answered that question. Or when you quit asking. Maybe God's looking for that. But there are times when we're going to look at three or four times here where God actually says no and He means no. Why does God sometimes say no to my prayers? If I'm going to make a request to God, why is God sitting up there saying, ask me, ask, ask, ask? But sometimes then He turns around and says, no, no, no. Why is that? I bet you there's everybody in this room who's ever prayed to God who believes that God said no to your prayers. And you'll probably be right. And here's why He would say no. One of them is because I did not pray with faith. And you know this passage, don't you? James chapter 1, verses 5 and following. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, and He does not upbraid you. But He says, but you ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. There's guys out there that are like that. They pray, and yet, as it says here, you're not asking in faith. That makes you stop and think, okay, if I didn't get a yes to my answer, and it was something that I believe was within the will of God, and it's been a course of time, and I've kept asking, maybe it is that you were not really truly asking in faith. And what do I mean by that? You know, when we think about that well-known scripture in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by what? Comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. And so my job is to read the will of God. If I'm going to pray according to His will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I better know what the will of God is. I got to realize what is God's will in this matter. And so I start praying, but I'm not praying truly in faith. And I mean by that is I'm not praying according to the will of God. I'm not reading my Bible and studying. I'm just, maybe it's something that's going on. And I really start challenging God as being God Himself. I said a while ago, God is God. And what does that mean? It means He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. Is there any of those things where you challenge God along that line? When you ask God, do you really believe that God, first of all, heard you and knows what is on your heart and has the ability, the power to do something about it? Or is it that you would think, God's not really going to listen to me? So in other words, you're calling God a liar. Or God's not really going to be involved in my life. Or God's not going to be strong enough to really accomplish what I'm asking. Or whatever that might be, that's challenging God as being God. And that's not going to be asking God in faith. And so why is God obligated to do that? Now, I got an illustration on the bottom of that thing. Have any of you ever prayed this? Dear God, heal the sick the world over. I heard that growing up almost every Sunday in the pulpit when people would say prayer. God, heal the sick the world over. Do you believe that? You believe God's going to heal the sick the world over? I mean, with all the wars going on, with all the bombs and the bullets flying, and nobody's going to get hurt? In other words, that's not a prayer but if you got somebody specific you want to pray about, then go to it. If there's somebody over there, or there's people over there, or there's Christians over in a certain area, and you want to pray for their healing, pray all you want about that. Pray it in faith, though. But be specific. Because God's not going to counter all His natural order of things. People are going to live, and people are going to die. War is going to take place. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace, the Bible says. And people are going to get hurt. People are going to get sick, and people are going to die. That's the way of the world. So I'm not going to pray for something that I know is not within the will of God. There's going to be sick people in this world, and there's going to be dead people in this world. And I'm not going to pray for everybody to stay alive for the remainder of history. And so be more specific. So why is your no, no? Well, sometimes it's maybe because we're not praying in faith. Let's go to a second one. Because sometimes I just simply pray selfishly. And that's exactly what James is arguing in chapter 4. Why are there wars and disputes among you? And he answers that. You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly. You ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. Now, sometimes, and here's the main thing that most of us do. What's the main thing that most of us pray for? I got it on the bottom of the chart there. We pray for our health, don't we? Or we might pray for a promotion in our job or a better job. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Don't get me wrong. But let me ask you a question. Why are you asking for that? Why are you asking for better health in your prayer? Why are you asking for a promotion? Why are you asking for those various things in your life? Is it to spend it on your own pleasures? I mean, all of us want good health, and all of us want more money, and all of us want these things. But why do we want those things? Why would you request that of God? God, I want better health, or God, I need a better job, or God, I need this. Why are you even asking that? In Philippians chapter 1, the story of Paul, where he makes the statement, the famous quote in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is what? Christ, and to die is gain. And he says, you know, personally, I'd rather die. That's what I'd rather do. I don't want to be in good health. I want to die. Why? Because then I go get to be with Christ. But he says, but I also know that you need me at this time in your life. So I'm praying to God that at least He'll spare my life so that I can be a blessing and help you grow. That you need me, and so I'm praying to stay in this world for the reason of God's glory, for the church's growth. Selfishly, I'd rather die. Unselfishly, I'll stay here and work for you and work for God. And so when the answer is no, sometimes it's just that. I should be praying not for something selfish. I want good health for why? So that I can be spent for the cause of Christ. That I can not just live long enough to see my grandkids graduate from high school. I want to live long enough so I can help my grandkids go to heaven. Or I can help others to go to heaven. God, I'm praying not for something personal as far as selfishly. I mean, I would like to see my grandkids graduate from high school. But I might not live that long. And that's okay. If I'm going to pray for it strictly for my own personal, you know, likes and dislikes, I want to do it for the glory of God. When also is no, because sometimes it doesn't fit within God's will. We know Jesus in the garden, when he prayed not once, not twice, but three times, may this cup pass from me. But understand this, that he always then had a caveat. What was that? Not my will, but yours be done. And so God sometimes says no when Jesus himself, his own son, prayed, take this cup from me, and he says no, no, no. And it was then that the Lord stood up, goes to meet his traitor and the crowd, and gives himself willingly into their hands. It was God's will that he do that. So he was good about that. Sometimes no just simply means it doesn't fit within the will of God. And yet we also see that when Jesus prayed and taught his disciples to pray, when he started it, and the very first thing that Jesus ever said when he's teaching somebody how to pray, the very first thing was, after saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, what was the very first request that he said, as a model prayer to pray, your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. The very first thing that my prayer should include is, God, your will be done, not mine. And so if it doesn't fit within God's will, then I want God to say no. I want God to tell me no. And that's what I want you to understand, is that's part of why God sometimes says no, and we don't always know that. Sometimes we don't see how it fits or doesn't fit within the will of God, so that's why we say, your will be done. So that's why I'm saying God does answer my prayers, all of them. If I'm trying to live a faithful Christian life, and I'm praying to God at His request to come boldly before His throne to receive mercy and grace and to receive my needs, I'm coming before Him to bring it out, and yet He says, no, no, no. I'm good with that. I just write that in my little prayer journal. God said no to this. I'll keep asking and seeing if He wants to change His mind on the matter. But for right now, He's just saying no to me. And I'm okay with that. And that's an answer to my prayers. God heard my prayer. God is also certainly not obligated to change His natural order. I said a moment ago about that. I want to reemphasize that. Sometimes God says no because that's just not His natural order. In other words, here was an illustration of a lady one time that came up and said, I'm disappointed in God. I've been praying and praying and praying for my grandmother, and she passed away. I said, well, how old is your grandmother? She was 93. Okay. You prayed and you're disappointed that God didn't hear your prayer and keep your grandmother alive. Let me tell you this. The Bible says it's appointed unto all men to die. Nobody gets out of this world alive. And so I can pray till the cows come home, and I can't pray that everybody stays well, that everybody stays healthy, that nobody dies. God's not obligated to change the natural order of what He has already said. A time to be born, there's a time to die. That's just the way it's going to be. Moses put it in Psalm 90 and in verse 10, teach us to number our days. What days? The days of our years are 70 years, perhaps maybe 80 years. And yet, what happens eventually? We are soon cut off and we fly away. We're all going to die, and so I'm not going to be praying something that flies in the face of God's natural order. God's already ordained that all of us live in this world, we go through life, and then we die. Some earlier than others. That's God's way. Time and chance happen to all people. I could have died in an automobile accident coming home from Illinois yesterday. That's a natural order of things. Benita might have been praying there for my safe arrival, and maybe it didn't happen. God answers prayer, but He answered it in His own way. And there's one more I want to say before we close. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll love the flesh, reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll love the Spirit, reap everlasting life. God's got an order in place that's a natural order. We reap what we sow. In other words, I can be praying for something, but if I am not living as I ought, I can be praying for my health, but what if I'm out here abusing my body by gluttonous eating? And I'm not understanding why God doesn't get me better when I'm sitting out here eating nothing but pork rinds. You should never do that anyway. But I'm sitting here eating nothing but junk food, and God's not obligated then to fly in the face of, if I sow, I'm going to reap. If I'm out here abusing my body, then don't expect good health. God's not going to encounter that. As you sow, you reap. If you sow to the flesh, if you're out here living a promiscuous life, God's not going to take away that sexually transmitted disease. You sow, you reap. You reap spiritually, then God will bless you spiritually. You sow to the flesh, God's going to let that take its course. And so when I'm asking sometimes for things, I need to make sure that I'm not countering that. No means no. And finally, because it's for our own good. Of course, everybody knew this one was coming. When Paul prayed, this thorn in the flesh, please take it away. Please take it away. Please take it away. And each time then God comes back and finally says to him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. In weakness you will be made strong. No, Paul, it's not good for you. God could see things that Paul couldn't. Even though Paul was living righteously, he got his prayer answered. It was in the negative. Why? Because it was not good for him. Paul said, God would say to Paul, if I took that thorn in the flesh away, it could lead to your damnation. It could cost you your life. You'd be lifted up with pride. It keeps you humble, and I intend to keep you humble. It's for your good that I not take that flesh away, that thorn in the flesh away. And I need to understand that when sometimes it is for my own good. So in other words, God is answering my prayer, and I need to say thank you, even when He's saying and shouting to me in no uncertain terms, no, no, no. So how are we going to respond to no? Let's close with this. How are we going to respond when God does say no? And He does a lot say no to us. Does that bother you that God would say no to you? Those of you who are parents dealing with small children, you get that, don't you? The child asks, and of course the child's always wanting you to say yes to any of their requests. But many a time you have to say no because it's not good for them, or they don't know what they're asking for, or whatever. And of course how they respond is with a temper tantrum. That's how sometimes grown-ups do too, before God. But how should we respond to God's no? I like what Job had to say. Job kept repeating, God, hear my prayer. God, give me an audience. God. And then finally, when God does come, Job has to respond. God begins to learn when he says, hold your peace with me and let me speak. In other words, he's begging for God to give him audience. And then he finally says, then let them come on me what may. In other words, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even when God hadn't yet appeared to him yet and helped him through this, he would still say, it's an even if mindset. God, even if you never respond to me, I'm never going to deny you. I'm never going to curse you, like my wife is asking me to, like Satan is obviously trying to get him to do. Even if they slay me, I will still trust in you. In other words, I should stand in this shock mode before God always. That God would even hear any of my prayers, much less all of my prayers. But God does hear all of my prayers. But many times, because He can see the end from the beginning, He's going to answer in a different way than I see it. I want it this way because I have this finite little mind, my finite little way of seeing things. God is infinite, and He can see down the road. He can see Joseph needing to go to prison so that he can one day feed his brothers. It took 20 years for him to see that, but he finally saw it. And we might not ever know in our lifetime why God said no to our request. But I want you to be assured of this. God said to pray to Him. God said He would listen to you, and God said He would answer. You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then you're the very first one we talked about. You're praying amiss. You're praying with a lack of faith. Know who God is, and then when God says, pray to me, ask, seek, knock, know that I will answer, and the door will be opened unto you. If only God will do this, then I will serve Him. Don't be that kind of person. Be an even if God slays me kind of person. That I will always believe that God hears my prayers and God gives answer. Thank you for your time this morning, and I hope that if you are struggling with your prayer life, this lesson in some way will be able to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God is listening. And be thankful that the God of heaven hears your prayer and even says no. Are you resolved to obey Jesus Christ? He died for you, you know. Would you live for Him? You need to be baptized into Christ this morning. We're ready for that. We've got everything ready. All things ready. Come to the feast. And you can become a Christian this morning. And if you're a child of God and you've kind of grown weary by your prayer life, you've kind of given up on prayer life, not thinking that God really hears and responds, I hope that this lesson triggered you to think otherwise. And that if you need to now start praying with more faith, that we can help you do that too. While together we stand and while we sing.